The story is told of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that at the very beginning of her life as a nun and in the work that she was called to do, she went to her superiors and said, "I have 3 pennies and I want to start an orphanage." To which the superior said, "Sister, with 3 pennies, you can't do anything." And Sister Teresa responded, but said, "Ah, with 3 pennies and with God, I can do anything. With 3 pennies and with God, I can do anything." Now, when we think of Saint Mother Teresa, we see in this woman someone who understood clearly the principle of the seed, that when we trust in the Lord, He can take the pennies that we offer Him and He can bless them and miracles can occur. Indeed, this story of Saint Teresa, who is one of the most recent saints of the church, as you know, she was canonized along with Saint John Paul II in 2014, and of course they were very good friends, and he was inspired by her and she was inspired by him. But this little story that I've used at the beginning of today's homily is to express a theme that is at the heart of today's reading. And it's this: when you and I cooperate with the grace of Jesus, when we cooperate, and this is the key, we will discover more and more the interconnectedness of all things. And we will see life in such a way that we can live it fruitfully, and we can live it meaningfully. I love that first reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, granted, it's been a wet summer, hasn't it? But one of the things that all of this rain has allowed for is how lush everything is. The grass is green, the flowers and the gardens are bursting forth. And centuries ago, in a very arid climate in Israel, the prophet Isaiah said these words: "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from me, it shall not return to me empty, but will accomplish that which I purpose and exceed for the thing for which I sent it." Now, what did Saint Teresa understand? She understood that just as there are agricultural laws that result in bread, grain, the abundance of the natural land, so too she realized there are spiritual laws that, when they are understood and practiced, allow for you and me and for St. Peter's to serve the kingdom of God. But here's the critical point. Our response to the kingdom can either hinder or enhance the way the Lord can work in our lives individually and within our parish as a whole. We can either hinder or we can help. Now, I only read the first 8 verses of today's gospel reading. If you have the Missalette, you'll see it goes to the end of verse 23. And if you look at the passage in its entirety, you'll notice that Jesus does 3 things. He talks about our eyes, he talks about our ears, and he says, live in such a way that your eyes are perceiving what's really going on in the world. Live in such a way that your ears are hearing what's really going on in the world. And if you live perceptively, it will affect your heart. If you live perceptively, it will affect your heart. But here's the challenge. Jesus says most people miss it. Most people do not see what is really going on in the world. Most people miss the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Their hearts are closed. And because their hearts are closed, their eyes are closed. And because their eyes are closed, their ears are closed. And so what I want to do this morning is, well, it's kind of like we're going to a spiritual cardiologist. I want to do a heart checkup with you. Because Jesus in today's gospel talks about four states of the heart. He talks, first of all, of the hardened heart. He then talks about the defeated heart. Thirdly, he talks about the distracted heart. And fourthly, he talks about the trusting heart. The hardened heart, the defeated heart, the distracted heart, and the trusting heart. And what we're invited to do, and I think this is actually something I want to use going forward as an examination of my conscience at the end of the day. Lord, during the day, what was the state of my heart? Was it hardened? Was it defeated? Was it distracted? Or was I trusting? So let's move into the parable, but I want to say one thing about the parable in its entirety before we look at it in a little bit more detail. Each of Jesus' parables, and the word parable actually means riddle. So a riddle is something that plays with your mind, that you have to sort of figure out, what is the riddle trying to say? And the thing about all of Jesus' parables is that they have a twist. That means there's something in the story that is actually bizarre. Now, if you heard this parable in the first century and you were an agriculturalist, you would say, this is one of the dumbest farmers I have ever heard of. There he is, he's throwing seed on hard soil. Look it, he's not even letting it go deep. He's just throwing it into the shallow soil. And you see all of the things that are going to make it hard for it to take. And over here, he's throwing it among thorns. Now imagine this, if you'd hired someone to work in your garden and you saw him or her doing that, what would you say? You would say, will you cut it out? Only put my seed in the good soil. Not this farmer. He's throwing it everywhere. Why? Because the farmer is Jesus Christ. And Jesus lavishes his grace everywhere. He's going to throw it here, there, doesn't matter where. He wants it to get out. But then he calls us to say, how are we going to respond to the grace of generosity? And first of all, there's the hardened heart. What did Jesus say about this heart? As the sower sowed, some seeds fell on the path and the birds came and ate them up. And then later on in the parable, the part that I didn't read, Jesus actually interprets what he means by this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what's sown on the path. Now, this is the hardened heart. Imagine it this way. Would you see anyone outside in January when it's minus 35 trying to plant seeds? Of course not. Does that mean that that soil isn't capable of growing anything? No, of course it can, but you need the right conditions, and minus 35 in January are not the right conditions. Such is the hardened heart. And notice the connection Jesus makes. He says, the heart that is hardened is a heart that does not understand. And may I suggest the following? Often the reason why it doesn't understand is it doesn't want to. That's what the hardened heart becomes. The hardened heart becomes embittered towards God. It becomes resentful of the church, and it doesn't want to hear anything of what Jesus wants to teach through the church. It's this sort of a position. And Jesus says, a heart that is hardened, there is no way that the grace of generosity will be able to penetrate such a heart. Perhaps you've known a time when your heart was like this. Perhaps you know people whose hearts are like this. Jesus makes it clear. The seed is good. Grace is operative, but it can't be operative there because it lands on the hard ground and then the devil comes and takes away the grace of God. Then secondly, there is the defeated heart. What does Jesus say about this heart? Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Now listen to Jesus' interpretation. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. You know, it's one thing to follow Jesus for a year or for 2 years. It's a totally different ballgame to follow him for 5, 6, 7 decades. And there are many people for whom they're excited about Jesus. They're excited, oh, I'm now in the church. But as soon as tribulation and trouble come, they're gone. Because they have not been able to make the connection between the reality of suffering is not something we can avoid. And Jesus actually uses the word tribulation. This means that he understands that in this life we cannot avoid suffering. I remember I was in my 20s and I was reading today's second passage from Romans. I was working my way through the letter to the Romans. And I got to chapter 8, verse 18, where Paul says these words. And I was going through a particular difficult time in my own life. I have considered, says Paul, that the suffering of this present time is not worth being compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This profoundly touched my heart and my mind. I came to a deeper understanding that day that you cannot avoid suffering and that this life has to primarily be seen in relation to suffering. That helped me a lot. It didn't make it easy to deal with suffering, but it gave it a context. And the thing about the heart that is defeated is it's a heart that's given up. And although the seed begins to germinate as soon as the heat of tribulation, or perhaps the heat of persecution, those who mock you or talk negatively about you because of your Catholic faith, how easy, Jesus said, it is for that persecution, that tribulation to be so hot that it just burns up what's growing and it shrivels away. Beloved, there is no way you can live the faith on your own. The only way we can deal with the tribulation, the only way we can deal with the struggles and the persecution is by being in community, by being with one another. And if you have that sense of family, you will see it through. The third heart is the distracted heart. Other seeds, says Jesus, fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And here's the interpretation. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. Now, may I suggest that in our day, I think the most significant type of spiritual heart disease is the distracted heart. We are so distractible. And part of the reason for this is social media. It distracts us here, it distracts us there, it distracts us everywhere. It is very hard for us modern people to be focused. And, of course, there is the lure of wealth. The sense that all that we need is here. It will satisfy us. But Jesus says this is the distracted heart. And those things that so distract us are like the thorns that can choke the word of God, the grace of generosity, and it comes to nothing. So Jesus, what do we do about all of this? Well, we pray, increase within me a trusting heart. And just before I get to the trusting heart, in myself, I know all too well the hardened heart. I know all too well the defeated heart. I know all too well the distracted heart. And I'm continuing to desire that my heart becomes more like the one Jesus now speaks of. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Now, it's interesting that it's only at this point that Jesus says, let anyone who has ears listen. Listen to what I'm saying about this fourth state of the heart. And then he'll interpret it for us in verse 23. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, indeed bears fruit, and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Now, do you know that in Palestine, if you get a 10% fold, that's a good crop. Here's the other twist to the parable. 100, 60, 30-fold? You never hear of that kind of yield. But this is what Jesus is saying to us. The person who hears, and this is what he says about the trusting heart, who hears and understands the word. Ah, that's the key. As we're coming to a deeper understanding of the word, we come to a deeper understanding of ourselves. And as we come to a deeper understanding of ourselves, we understand what it is to live in relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we grow in this kind of life, as the prophet Isaiah said, God's word will never return to him empty. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't matter what we go through in this life. If we are cultivating this desire to grow in trusting him, he will accomplish that which you and I cannot do on our own. And Saint Teresa of Calcutta understood this. Think of her 3 pennies. Think of her sowing those into the soil and what it has produced. A remarkable movement of sisters around the world known as the Sisters of Charity. Beloved friends, may we ask for St. Teresa's prayers. May we be inspired by her tenacity, by her trusting confidence in the Lord, so that we can pray like this. Jesus, help me to cultivate a trusting and hopeful heart, so that, like St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, I can be used by you in the service of your kingdom.